Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the April 30th, 2012 edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined, as always, by the human hand grenade Danny Only, Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hinkins, and this week we are being joined by our old friend Larry Goodman from GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, who wants to recap some of the weekend's events that he went to, some of which we were also at, and some of which we've read about online. But I guess we'll let you give you the floor, Larry. What all did you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I was at both the PCW show on, Empire show on Thursday night at the Masquerade,
right,
and at Anarchy on Saturday night, and both good shows. Both companies seem to have a fair amount of momentum at this point. Anarchy, I would say, you know, wasn't quite up to the level of the past, the taping the last time, but that would have been saying an awful lot since that was just a fantastic show. This one was still really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing with Jerry Palmer becoming unbelievably evil is working out quite well there. And there's going to be a lot more where that came from for sure. But it's been an interesting transformation to see Mr. Palmer in that role. I think he's well suited for it, actually. I'd say the best match of the weekend, and not because he's on the radio here with us, but the best match of the ones I saw was Damnation versus Young and Restless on Thursday night at the Masquerade. I thought you guys had a hell of a match.
Yeah, that was a good match.
Appreciate it.
It was actually a pretty big weekend for Danny Only and all of his associates from Damnation, as well as the Hate Junkies, some of which played out that same night with Strychnine taking on Empire champion Shane Marks, and he, I would say, took him to the limit until Rachel Freeman got involved and punched Strychnine in the balls and cost him the match.
I thought that was a real good match too. The crowd didn't quite take to Strychnine as the anti-hero quite as quickly as I thought they might, but he had him by the end of the match. And you know, Shane Marks just doesn't have bad matches, so Strychnine neither. So that was very good. I wanted to hear from you guys, because I assume you were there Friday night, that Phantom cut quite a promo, and there was quite a scene between he and Shane Marks there. You guys want to comment on that?
Yeah, definitely. It was well. The Empire has changed the start time for the shows for the next 3 weeks to 10:30 again, which is something they like to do every once in a while. But the main event was supposed to be the Phantom taking on Shane Marks, which was set up the previous night at the Masquerade. But the Phantom came out wearing a mask and looked like the usual Phantom. Then he cut this I don't know how to describe it. It was a had everyone on their toes for sure, because you never really heard him talk before. But he talked for a good 5 minutes at least, and talked about why he wears the makeup, you know, who he really is, and revealed some history between he and Shane Marks going back to their childhood in Chicago, where Shane Marks, or a Phantom whose name has been revealed as Casey Kincaid, his family took Shane Marks in and they kind of grew up together, but Shane Marks was always the more popular one, I guess, and so he had quite a bone to pick with Shane Marks. So there never really was a match. It was just a brawl outside the ring, and unfortunately, Danny Only wasn't there to see it. But excuse me, like I said, it was another big night for his associates. Wild Child also had a pretty good match against Marco Polo. He lost, but it was a pretty good match. And Strychnine successfully defended the NWA Southern States Championship up in APW the same night. But, so Phantom is now known as Casey Kincaid. He no longer wears face paint, and he speaks. I guess those are the main points about that. But Matt was there too, so what did you think of that, Matt?
Yeah, there's promos, and then there's what Phantom did, and I mean, it was real edge-of-your-seat kind of stuff. I mean, he was laying it all out there, and like Jonathan said, he kind of got in the backstory of kind of how, you know, his family took Shane in and sort of took to Shane, and so Phantom just kind of felt like he was the guy that was kind of kicked out. And so Shane was very, you know, disrespectful and didn't appreciate all what his family did, and he was just really, it was past, you know. Also, and then he shows up in the promotion that Phantom was helped building, which was PCW at the time. And Shane comes in and kind of, you know, as good as he is, makes his mark there. And so Phantom, again, kind of gets left behind, kind of out of the limelight. And he's just tired of it. And, I mean, it was a brawl, you know. It ended with a very bloody Shane Marks bleeding across the back from a lot of belt shots from Phantom. And then it ended with a giant drop. Phantom dropped on him from the turnbuckle to the outside. So it was a heck of a brawl. And it's not over by any means. So I cannot wait till they actually lock it up in the ring for real.
Yeah, so Danny and Larry, you both missed a good match on Friday. Well, not a match, a brawl. there were several other good matches that night, too. And even though the show started later, you know, there was still a pretty good crowd. I guess a good portion left in intermission because at that point it was getting close to midnight or so. So just something you have to deal with, I guess, when the Empire's involved. But yeah, so Larry, I think you wanted to talk about some other promotions, and I heard you didn't go to the Peach State show, did you, Larry?
I was not at Peach State. No, that was at Friday night.
I think
it would have been
Saturday.
I guess you'd have been in Anarchy during that one. I've only heard through the grapevine that it was another raucous showing from that promotion.
Yeah, I heard quite a bit about the fan strap match thing at the end, but I think we're actually going to have someone from PWA on the show next week, so we can kind of recap that then. But basically it was a stipulation set by Wicked Nemesis prior to, I guess, in the previous show, in the main event, which was the Exotic Ones against J-Rod and CJ Awesome. Is it CJ or AJ?
CJ, that's right.
CJ Awesome. I don't quite get it. It was a stipulation where the fans could bring belts and use them, but only certain fans were allowed to, and some fans got mad that they weren't allowed to, and it just turned into a brawl where the wrestlers actually had to get physical with the fans a little bit.
Oh.
And turned into a little chaotic scene, it sounds like. But, yeah, we'll have someone. I think we're going to get Simon Sermon and maybe his Exotic Ones tag team partner to call in next week, so we'll talk more about it then.
Okay.
For a night at Peach State to be considered extra crazy, really must have gotten out of hand.
Yeah, the one time I went out there, a fight broke out in the men's room while the Exotic Ones and the Washington Bullets were wrestling in the main event. So the crowd's attention went from the wrestling match to the men's room pretty quickly.
Well, I don't know if there's something in the water or Carrollton or not. I mean, I've told the story a few times about being in Carrollton years ago and seeing Ken Timms get stabbed with a knife.
Yeah.
By a fan there at Carrollton, and he went and wrestled the main event anyway. It wasn't that bad of a wound, but the guy stuck a knife in him right there in the building. So a couple other things over the weekend. Alternative Pro Wrestling in Royston ran their quarterly big show. They've done some revamping of the building out there, and supposedly looking better lit, and they drew almost 200 people for their show. So they were very pleased with that outing, with Strychnine retaining the Southern States Championship. Shadow Jackson beat Anthony Henry in a last man standing matches at the top of that card. And then there's, of course, the show that didn't take place, Ron Gossett's UCW show. Well, both Hiram.
That's what happens when you don't book Danny only.
Is that Danny or Matt that's laughing, or both?
Both. That was both.
The one in
Ronnie Gossett.
So he made it a string of three in a row, canceling Lithonia this last weekend because the guy once again, you know, fool me once. And although this was a different person, this wasn't that Darius Ashlock. This was a different guy from that same organization who didn't come up with the money, so they didn't run last weekend in Lithonia. I understand, I guess it was you were the one telling me, Jonathan, that the high school pulled the show on him Friday night?
Yeah, we talked about that last week because we were supposed to talk to Matt Hardy. But, yeah, and Ronnie forwarded me the email from the high school. So it was, they had a fundraiser, pep rally, something or other for their football team that night. So they wanted to reschedule it. I believe it's on their website, UCWTV.com.
Yes.
It's May 12th is the rescheduled date.
Don't remember, but it is up there. But then, of course, Norcross, Mr. Gossett claimed that the bird show interfered, the exotic bird fairs that they do out there every so often interfered with the wrestling show, which, according to the building manager there, I guess he's like the president of the company that runs the North Atlanta Trainer, said not so. They can they could easily accommodate two events at one time, and, of course, the bird show ends at 5 o'clock. So,
right.
So they were taking odds out there at Anarchy Saturday night about, you know, what were the chances that Mr. Gossett was going to run any more shows, and could he get people to continue to work for him or not under these circumstances?
So, yeah, I would imagine.
I'm not going to drop names, but there's a certain somebody who wrestles for him who says that he intentionally double books every show that he has UCW on because he knows that there's an 80% chance that UCW is going to cancel. So,
yes,
the guy
has
got a good reputation, so.
So it's possible that Mr. Gossett has literally run out of gas here.
We've promoted his shows here before, and again, I guess not true to his character, in that he did come through with some things. You know, we had Buff Bagwell on, we had Scott Steiner on, and he set all that up. We were supposed to have Matt Hardy last week, but we did not. And I'd found out about that last minute, but supposedly that wasn't Ron's fault. But, I mean, I haven't talked to Matt Hardy, so I don't know who's to blame for that. But, you know, 2 out of 3 of the times that he promised to get big names on this show, he got them on here, and they were good interviews. And the shows, I think I've seen 2 or 3 UCW shows, no, actually 4, since they started, what was it, in February, I think. Anyway,
yeah,
he ran
January, the first time at Norcross was January, he ran January and February both.
Okay. I saw one show in Norcross, one show at Hiram High School, one show in Lithonia at the Inspiring Kids Academy, and I want to say I saw another one somewhere. Oh, the one at the high school in Marietta, Sprayberry High School. And they were all good shows as far as the talent there and the wrestling that took place, and the setup looked really good. So, you know, if he can get his act together and, you know, get places to commit to actually having him perform his shows there, then, you know, it could happen. But it just seems like it's not meant to be, unfortunately, for a lot of people.
Yeah, for the wrestlers who are booked and then canceled late, it's certainly not good for them. He does have Joe Hamilton helping him out, which has to be a positive. And I think, believe from the email exchange I had with Joe, that he's still on board. Should run more shows, that he's still on board to help out. So I guess we'll see where things go from here. But I will be very surprised if they come back to the North Atlanta Trade Center. I think that probably better off staying in the smaller towns anyway.
They did Ringgold show, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so I didn't go to that one or hear anything about it, but sounds like that one went according to plan, at least somewhat.
Oh, and going back a year or more, he drew a big crowd in McDonough and a big crowd up in another place in North Georgia. You know, so, I mean, yeah, he's done well in some of the smaller towns. So.
All right. Well, Larry, you're welcome to stay on if you want. We're going to talk to the Jagged Edge. Texted me and said, I know he's had some headaches over the weekend. He informed me over the weekend that he thinks he has a concussion from one of his recent matches, so he may not call in, but Screamin' Marty Freeman, his manager, is still supposed to call in. And then we're going to have UHA Nation from Dragon Gate and a lot of other bigger indie promotions who got a start here in the Atlanta area with WWA4 and other local promotions. He's calling in a little bit later, so I don't know if you want to stick around for that, Larry, but you're welcome
sure.
to. So I guess we should be hearing from Jagged Edge and or Marty Freeman any minute now. But until then, we talked about Empire, we talked about Anarchy. We leaving anything out?
Oh, one thing I should mention, I just noticed that Rampage apparently has changed their schedule and will run next Sunday instead of on Mother's Day. So they're going back-to-back here. They're going to come back with a show next Sunday.
And then are they going to stay on that schedule? Or
I don't believe
just...
so.
Okay.
I think
that's just because Johnny Jesus closed on Mother's Day. So they shifted up to do the 6th, and the next show will be Memorial Mayhem on the 27th.
Danny, were you there yesterday?
Yeah, I was.
How was it? Anything of note that you'd like to share with us?
I almost set Billy Knight on fire, which is cool.
I think that's worth talking about.
Yeah. I was going to do it, but J-Rod come saving the day, you know. Captain Save-A-Ho sliding in with his chair and a big bandage on his face from getting his ass burnt last time. But, you know, here's the weird thing about Rampage, that it's the crowd is just so strange. And they didn't draw quite as well last time as they did the 2 weeks prior. But, you know, it was a good show. They had a pretty good four-way match with Jimmy Rave Approved, Corey, Chip, Posey, and Bentley against Tommy Daniels, Anthony Henry, I want to say C.B. Gibson, and Chris Jacobs, I think. But, you know, it was a pretty good match. Ended up with Jimmy coming out and bitch slapping all four members of Jimmy Rave Approved because they can't keep their stuff together. Vane had a good match with Chris Jacobs as well. You know, he was antagonizing Casey McKnight the whole time because Casey McKnight kind of embarrassed him at the last taping. But that's all right because Vane got revenge because he DDT'd him on his head on the concrete floor in the locker room, so that was pretty neat. But yeah, it was a good show. I like Rampage. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I don't like doing Sunday. But I like it because I was already at home sitting on a lawn chair drinking beer at 8 o'clock. So, you know, it's good that it's in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but yeah, it was good. We're doing, the cash vault has taken me back in. So there's a lot of bad news for people in the future.
And you came back with two working ears this time. That's got to be a positive.
Yeah, man, I can hear everything. I don't have any handprints on my throat.
Well, hey, we got, I believe this is, well, no, he's gone. Harold J. Taylor, the photographer, was on the line, but I guess we took too long to bring him on. But he was the one who filled me in a little bit. He and John Williams from the Washington Bullets, both, I talked to both of them earlier today, and they were the ones that told me about what happened at Peach State. So I thought maybe he wanted to talk more about that, but... Jay, if you're listening, give us a call back. And I guess assuming that Marty Freeman or Jagged Edge are going to call in, we should kind of let people know who they are. Jagged Edge and Danny only have a little bit of history, but at the TNT Pro Wrestling Show a couple weeks ago, their anniversary show, Jagged Edge became their new heavyweight champion. And he is undefeated there as well as in Empire and PCW. He wrestled the first PCW show out in Porterdale and won his match there. And he's definitely a dominant force, and he's returning to wrestling after a hiatus. I guess he was a big wrestler about 10 years ago, it sounds like, from what he's told me. But I don't know. You all know who he is, too. What else can we say about him and or Marty Freeman?
Not above paying off a child.
All right.
He is a mastermind in the art of war.
Everything about black people that white people are afraid of.
That is Stephen Platinum's famous quote.
That's bullshit. I ain't afraid of his bitch ass.
Yeah, Matt, why don't you, for people who were not at the Masquerade on Thursday, let them know what happened with Jagged Edge and your little girl. You had just left at the front row. I guess you went to get a drink or something.
I went to get a drink. So, yeah, Jagged Edge takes Jeter's spot for reasons we don't exactly know in the World We Are 3 match. And as the match works out, he is partners with Ayesha Sunshine and Brian Blaze versus Fred Yeha, Mason, and Pandora. In that match, if you get thrown out of the ring, you can only get back in the ring if you're able to pull someone of the opposite team out of the ring. So it works out that Jagged Edge, Fred is disqualified from the match for entering when he shouldn't. Jagged Edge gets thrown out. And in the ring, Pandora has Ayesha in the Pain of the Damned. Brian has Mason in his own submission move, so the race is on to see who taps first. Before this, I'd gone up to the bar to quench my thirst, and Jagged Edge is on the outside of the ring. I hear a scream, and I look up. Jagged Edge has grabbed my child, drug her around the ring so that Mason is looking eye to eye with her. He picks her up and is threatening to slam my precious little girl on the hardwood floor at the Masquerade. Mason, being the great soul that he is, he can't allow this to happen. He gives up. Match over. Team of Jagged Edge, We Are Three, win the match. Platinum loses his mind, suspends Jagged Edge on the spot for grabbing a fan, especially a child. And then, much to my surprise, I look up to see Jagged Edge extend his arms. My child runs and hugs him. He hands her an undisclosed amount of money. It was she was in on it the whole time.
She told me it was $6.
Times are tough in the Hankins house, so every little
bit. Well, hey, I think we've got Jagged Edge on the line now. So let's see. This is the Jagged Edge, TNT Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. What do you have to say for yourself, Jagged Edge?
Well, you know, Hankins' daughter told me before the show she wanted to associate with a winner, so I gave her opportunity to. It's got to be rough sitting at her house with a daddy like that. So, I mean, do you blame her?
Everything was fine until you showed up.
Everything's always fine until I show up.
You have ruined lives in Clayton, Georgia, Avondale Estates, and Porterdale. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get tired of not giving the people what they want to see?
Well, it's like this. Like I told the people in Clayton, Georgia, I am your champion. And I know Danny Only's over there. And I've been listening to him run his mouth about he's not afraid. Well, Danny, anytime you're ready, any city, any kind of match, you name it, I'm there.
Oh, we done tangled that one. And you got me. I ain't gonna lie, you got me. But I'm willing to bet that when you left, you felt a little bit sore than you did when you went in there. So, yeah, you might have beat me. You know, you're a big dude, man. You're definitely something solid and something to look out for. But don't underestimate me, partner, because I'm the wrong one. I'm the wrong one. And you never know. It could come to fruition. Because last time I checked, my calendar seems to be open May 5th for Porterdale. So I might just take me a little venture down there and see what's going on over on that side of the train tracks, if you will.
Well, I might meet you down there, Danny, and we'll see what we can come up with then. Now to this situation that's going on or that's being talked about, back to this child. Matt Hankins.
Yes.
When you bring your daughter to Porterdale or bring her up to TNT, because, we're going to find a way to get that only character back up to TNT. Can she walk back up to the ring with me as I beat Danny Only again?
Look. You pulled one over on her, flashed a little cash at her. You got her once, but I know for a fact. Well, let me not say that because I thought I knew for a fact before Thursday. But I got a good inkling that child is not going to turn on the human hand grenade, Danny Only. That child loves Danny Only for reasons I don't necessarily understand. But y'all just seem to be real close. You talk to her. You'll see her. You know where to find her.
Yeah, she'll be sitting in the front row every week.
Know that. Now, you got a real bad habit, Jagged Edge, about putting your hands on fans in general. Some would say that you would not be the TNT champion right now had you not initially put your hands on Mrs. Zach Daniels. What was going through your mind at that point?
The day I walked through the doors at TNT, in my mind, I earned a title shot. This back and forth and back and forth, and Zach's got a tag team partner that's the booker. He wants to tell me what I need to earn. Well, I figured that eventually one day our goal walking into TNT was to go to the top, straight to the top, not play around in the middle, not jab around at the bottom. So why not go right for what you want by grabbing who you want? And Zach wouldn't answer my question. I went to him like a man. I challenged Zach like a man for 6 weeks. Zach didn't answer, ran away, did whatever he was going to do. So I know how to get to him, man. Like I told him, I'm going to take him places no man should go. I gave him opportunity to answer me as a man, to stand up and be the champion and give me a straight, direct answer. So he left me no choice. You know, when you want what you want, you got to go and get what you want.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. And you did dominate the match with the assistance of Marty Freeman, as I mentioned here last week. That Marty, though it was against the rules, underhanded, he did a spectacular job.
Last I checked, Matt Hankins, last I checked, you did the same thing when I went against Danny Only at Academy Theater. Last I checked, Zach Daniels and Danny Only was pinned in the ring, 1, 2, 3, no interference, nobody helped me beat Danny at Academy Theater. Nobody helped me beat Zach Daniels down at TNT. Stop whining and complaining and seeing things nobody else sees.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Danny, do you have a retort, perhaps?
I think, I don't know, maybe my Bluetooth headphones are fucking up, but I'm pretty sure I just heard you say that there was no distraction.
No interference. Danny, only you were pinned 1, 2, 3 in the center of the ring. I didn't see you. I mean, I heard Matt saying you got cracked in the head. The only cracking in the head you got was from my fist. That's all I remember. I didn't see anything else.
I don't know if I remember it quite that way, but I am a little loopy with that little jumpsuit wearing bitch manager you got, Marty Freeman. He cracked me good, so my head's spinning just a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe if Goodwin's there, he wrote it up. You know, maybe we'll have to look at the report. But that's okay. Like I said, you're not the first person, and I guarantee you, your big ass ain't gonna be the last person to beat me up. But here's the thing, and this is something that the Empire is speaking. Man, for some reason, me and Strychnine have a habit of getting in a fight with really big black dudes, because Seven dumped Strychnine on his head with a pile driver Saturday, thinking that was going to end it, and Strychnine's still alive, so he's going to be back, and it ain't going to be good for them. And yet, you know, Jagged, I'm still around, man. I'm still here, and as long as I'm still here, you always got to worry about it, so... Yeah, you beat me. I'll give you that. Clap, clap, clap. Congratulations. You're not the first. You won't be the last one. But I'm telling you, next time we're in there, trust me, you're going to be walking to the back a little funny. You're going to be...
I remember talking to the Jagged Edge after the match at Academy Theater, which, for those who weren't there or don't know what we're talking about, that was the same night Davey Richards was there and there was a tournament. So Danny Only had already defeated Davey Richards earlier in the night and advanced to the final round against the Jagged Edge.
Let me say it, Jonathan. I distinctly told you, I said that if Danny Only has just beat the best in the world and I just beat Danny Only, then don't that make me the best in the world? That's what I said.
That is what you said, yes.
Is what he said. Who did you have to beat in the first round? I believe it was Hayden Young.
It don't matter. It don't matter how you get where you got to go as long as you get there. And if you just beat the best in the world and I just kicked your ass, then that makes me the best in the world, simply put.
I don't know if you kicked my ass. If I'm not mistaken, you got your
leg. No matter how you got there, as long as you get there. It don't matter if I went around 285 or straight down 20. As long as I got where I need to be, that's all that matters.
Well, let me ask you this. Danny Only, no rematch. Zach Daniels, you defeated. There was a stipulation that now he has to work his way back up the entire ladder. The entire roster is ahead of him in TNT. So he can't come back when he's able and immediately challenge you for what was, let's just say, a controversial victory that you had over Zach Daniels. How did you pull that off? How do you orchestrate that magic? Or is that the doing of your leisure suit wearing manager
Mr. Marty Friedman.
And that's the doing of the nature of the business. Zach Daniels got beat. You go to the bottom of the ladder just like anybody else. That if he had beaten them, they go back to the bottom of the ladder. No reason for a rematch. I only do it one time. I ain't got to do it two or three times. Go to the bottom of the ladder, work your way back up. That's what his tag team partner was telling me to do. So now if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You got your ass beat, you go to the bottom and work your way back up.
I believe TNT has a show this Saturday, correct?
Yes.
Are you defending your title there, or will you be there at all?
I'll be there, but I won't be defending the belt.
Why is that?
You need to find somebody worthy to challenge me for the title. Right now, they don't have anybody worthy.
Excuse me. Sorry. Sorry. I got a little cough.
Of the people you've seen in PCW, in Empire Wrestling, in TNT, and anywhere else you may have gone on the local scene or anywhere else, who do you think would be a worthy challenger to you?
You know, and I hate to say this simply because he's on the other end of the phone, but I've gone on the record many times and said, Danny Only and I, we may not agree, we may not see the same, agree on the same things or be on the same side of the track, but I have nothing but respect for him. And at any point, at any time, in any kind of match, I would love to tangle up with Danny. It don't matter to me 5 days a week. You know, that's how much respect I have for him. We yell and scream at each other. But, hey, if Danny's there, Danny's got it. That's as far as I'm concerned. And that's whether we be in PCW, Empire, TNT, on the road, anywhere else. Anytime, I'd tangle with Danny any day of the week.
So perhaps in a match where, unlike at the Platinum Classic, somebody doesn't come out and whack Danny with a kendo stick.
Now, here we go. I don't know who that is talking, and I don't know where you saw a kendo stick. All I know is that Danny was beat 1-2-3 in the center of the ring.
After Eric Walker came out and whacked him over the head with a kendo stick.
Now, I didn't see that. I must have been conversating with the referee or talking to Corey of All You Can Eat, maybe even yelling at Matt Hankins. I saw or heard no kendo stick shot. All I know is I body slammed Danny on the floor, went back and picked him up. He was groggy, took him back in the ring, and finished him off with a power slam. That's all I know. 1-2-3. No kendo stick. I didn't see one. Didn't hear one. I don't know where you guys are coming up with a kendo shot.
One, first of all, it's converse. There's no such thing as conversating. Conversating is not a word. Secondly, you are correct. You body slammed me on the floor, and I was a little bit groggy, and you picked me up, and you threw me back in the ring. But, I seem to remember when you rolled me back in the ring, I had a little bit of fight left in me, and I lit your ass up a few times, and I saw the look on your face when I was lighting your ass up, and you was thinking, man, I really wish that this would stop right now. And then you cut me off.
And so I did what I had to do. I was a man, and I put the end to it myself. I didn't need any help, Danny Only. I planted you 3 feet under the ring, pinned you 1, 2, and 3, stood over you and looked at your crowd, your fans, and told them simply what I wanted them to know. I am the best in the world.
I have had this argument with Jagged Edge 100 times, and I know that it reaches no resolution. Let me ask you this. You are as old school can get. Mannerisms, attitude, you know, performance in the ring, you know, you're a power man, and you don't mind showing it. Can you tell the people who were some of your influences that kind of brought you to this point?
Well, you and I talk all the time, and I tell you my favorite wrestler that I call myself emulating or that I like is Butch Reed. And that was back when he was Hacksaw Butch Reed and not the natural Butch Reed. So, I mean, that's all I know. I don't know anything. I'm 260 pounds legit. And I don't know, I can't flip, flop, and fly, so I don't try. You know, I know how to do it the way that I grew up watching it done, the way I was trained to do it. And that's make every move count. And that's what I do. So, I mean, that's mine is simple. Not a long history, it's simple.
That some bitch does hit hard. I'll give him that.
Jagged Edge, could I ask who trained you, one, and two, were you always known as the Jagged Edge?
Yes, I was trained. I was being trained by a guy named John Horton in Jackson, Mississippi, with some help from Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson and Buddy Lynn Dam. I was the ring guy. I used to put up the rings and, you know, was happy bouncing around the ring when I had a chance. And until I started working with our Buddy in the ring and John and, you know, with a twinkle in the this, that, and another. And that was my first gimmick. The Jagged Edge was the name I was given in 1996, I believe, 95, 96. And that was before the music group. They were still in the kids' choir at New Birth Baptist Church. So that's the only gimmick that I've had. That's the only person. I take that back. My very first one, when I came out as a manager in my very first match, I was Eugene Faith. That was my managerial name, Sweet Daddy Eugene Faith. But when I started wrestling, actually started working in the ring, I was known as the Jagged Edge, and it's always been that way.
Real good story, but I hate to interrupt. But hey, Jonathan, got a question for you. Is there a limit to the number of people that can call in? Because I just got a text from UHA Nation that said that he tried to call the number twice, and he got the voicemail twice.
Oh, he called. That was him calling. He was calling my cell phone.
Ah, all right.
So, I'll text him from my. I'll text him. I've got his number now. There is no limit, as far as I know, to how many people can call. But he's just calling the wrong number.
All right, right on.
But
any more questions? I'm a bow out. Like I said,
I wanted to ask,
lay down. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you real quick. What promotions did you wrestle in before you recently returned, first at Academy Theater and then you went to TNT? Where did you wrestle back when you were wrestling earlier in your career?
Johnny Horton used to run a promotion down in Mississippi. He called it, after Bill White's Mid-South Championship Wrestling, but the name was changed to Extreme Mid-South Championship Wrestling. I worked with Robert Gibson with Alabama Championship Wrestling over in Tuscaloosa at the fairgrounds. And the Mid-South worked Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and parts of Alabama, and some of Arkansas, depending on if he, you know, got the booking for that particular night. So that's where I worked prior to. I moved to Georgia in the year 2000, made a couple of phone calls, got nothing from it, and went and played football. I played Canadian football for 4 years, and I played arena football for 3 years. Coach high school football now, and I wrestle. That's what I do.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. I know your head's been hurting. So
yeah.
And it sounds like we've got another match between you and Danny Only coming up somewhere.
Danny Only. Before I go, Danny Only, anywhere. Remember this, brother. Anywhere, anytime, you name the match, I'm there. Remember that. Bring Strychnine. Anytime.
I don't need to bring anybody. Damn head gonna be
hurt
real bad.
You need to bring two or three with you, Danny. It ain't a fair fight, just me and you.
Oh,
you ain't got enough.
You hey, win or lose, baby, I'm telling you, you're gonna be hurting.
You guys have a good one.
All right.
Roll Tide, Jagged Edge, roll Tide.
All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and when we come back we have UHA Nation on the line.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling, and you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams of WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Matt Hankins of Team All You Can Eat, Larry Goodman from GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, and the human hand grenade Danny Only. We also now have Harold J. Taylor, local wrestling photographer, on the line, and we're being joined by our next guest, best known for his recent work with Dragon Gate USA and Combat Zone Wrestling. I believe he's also done some work with Evolve and Full Impact Pro, and that is UHA Nation. So thank you for calling.
No problem. What's going on? Everything good?
Everything's good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, just kicking back, just nursing this injury, but, you know, what can you do?
Man, that bugs me out, man. Damn, UHA is my damn road dog, man. You doing all right, man? You healing up good?
Yeah, man, I'm trying. I'm just taking it day by day, man. You know, I'm going to go see my surgeon on Thursday, man, and you know, find out what's, you know, if I can get this brace off my leg, and I'm on crutches, you know, I can't even put any pressure on my foot, you know, so just kind of just taking it day by day, just sitting around the house and, you know, getting ready to get back in the gym and start this rehab and everything.
Now, for those who don't know, exactly what and when and how did you hurt yourself?
I was on March 29th. We're down in Miami for the three-day weekend for DGUSA. The first night, you know, I go for my signature dive that I've done so many times. And when I go to dive, I hit something pop in my left knee. And, you know, I hit the ground expecting, I barely made it over the top ropes. You know, I hit the ground expecting for, like, my bone to be popping out my leg or something, you know, because I heard it sounded like a gunshot from what I heard. And, you know, what happened is I tore my patella tendon, which is the one that connects to the kneecap. And, you know, I had to have surgery. I had surgery on the 20th, about 10 days ago. And, you know, just sitting here trying to be as patient as I can. You know, it's tough, but, you know, they tell me I got to, you know, be patient and take my time with this comeback, you know, so that let it heal properly so that, you know, it doesn't, chances of happening again aren't so likely.
Yeah, man, don't make the mistake a lot of people do and rush back in because I'm not talking shit. Everybody knows it. You got definitely a bright future ahead of you, so make sure you heal it up right.
Definitely appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, yep. I was lucky enough. I saw you a couple months ago at the first XWF show, Exciting Wrestling Federation at WWA4.
Oh yeah,
When you and Frankie Valentine were in the main event. I believe you were on their second show, which, as far as I know, was the only two shows they've done so far. But I wasn't able to stay for the main event that night. So, but that match with Frankie Valentine was great. And, you know, it was good to hear that you're doing Dragon Gate. And just to clarify, where else, what other of the, you know, bigger promotions have you been working for lately?
Well, those are the main ones, the DGUSA, CZW, the Combat Zone, the FIP, AIW also, up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Absolute Intense Wrestling. Did some Beyond Wrestling over in Japan with Dragon Gate Japan over there. You know, with DGUSA, I got to travel over to Japan and, you know, wrestle for them. I scheduled to go back again, and, you know, I got this injury, so I had to, you know, kind of reschedule that trip and everything. Those are the main ones that I've been working with lately. I'd love to branch out and do some other stuff with, you know. I decided to love wrestling, you know, so it I love wrestling. It, you know, you call me, you know, and I'll wrestle forever, you know. I just love to wrestle, you know, and I don't feel like I'm too big to wrestle for any promotion, you know. I just love wrestling. I wrestle for wherever, you know. I wrestle in front of 5 people. I wrestle in front of 5,000 people. You know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, when I'm out there, I'm just trying to put on the best performance I can and you know, have the match of the night. So it's just what
right.
I love to do.
Well, you trained, I believe, initially at WWA4 here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. That's how I got my start at WWA4 with Mr. Hughes, Total Protection, Mr. Hughes. I started about 2 years ago, August 2009. And
okay.
Yeah, since then I haven't stopped. You know, I love doing it, traveling in the road. It can be rough at times, but, you know, it's what we do, and it's what makes you appreciate it, you know, in the end, too.
Right.
Yeah.
How did these bigger promotions discover you, and how did you start working with them?
Well, my boy Errol Fox was trying to get me for the longest time to come up to CZW and everything, and it just never worked out. Every time, you know, I either had to work on it. I was still stuck in that stage where I was still kind of, you know, I wasn't trying to branch out yet. I feel like, you know, I felt comfortable where I was at. You know, I was, you know, working at the school, working with the Georgia promotions, and I didn't feel like I was, you know, ready to branch out. Then September of 2011, this past year, I finally said, I'm going to do this Dragon Gate USA trial. You know, I tried out. You know, they put me on the show for that night, and they put me on the show the rest of the weekend. And, you know, a couple months later, they were sending me a contract in the mail. It was very exciting. After that, you know, every other promotion was hitting me up. You know, CZW, AIW, got with Evolve through Gabe and DGSA. And, you know, really, after that trial is when everybody, you know, started, you know, noticing, you know, my talent and started really, you know, seeing, you know, what I could do in the ring and everything.
Right.
For a man your size, you have a very unique skill set. Was that something you were shooting for when you first came into the business, or did it just kind of evolve as you realized, hey, I can do this move, I can do this move, I've got the ability to do this move? Were you planning on that, or did it just kind of happen?
No, what happened was, I was in gymnastics when I was younger. You know, I could always flip, and I watched some of the AJ Styles and, you know, Kurt Angle, so I kind of wanted to simulate, you know, different styles to different people, but kind of add my own thing into that. So, you know, I kind of wanted to go with the flying, not too much flying, because I didn't want to take away from other people, and, you know, I didn't want to have to do that night in and night out, but, you know, I just wanted to keep something unique about, you know, about myself. I didn't want to come in here and, you know, so I wanted to start off kind of, you know, as a technical wrestler, you know, get the whole best technical wrestler thing going on. And I started doing, you know, the shooting star press and the moonsault. And I saw how I got over. And, you know, I kept doing it and kept doing it. And, you know, potentially promoters would come in and somebody use that as my finish. But, you know, I kept doing it, kept doing it. It was something that is kind of stuck. And after that, you know, everywhere I was going, that's what they wanted to see me go over with. So, I guess it kind of was something that it kind of just came along. You know, it wasn't something that I came in here wanting to do, but it kind of was at the same time. You know, I didn't want to be like the craziest hopper out there, but I wanted to, you know, have some kind of aerial assault in my attack.
Right. Now, when anybody sees you right off, they think, hey, this guy's got the look, he's got athletic ability. Does that add pressure as you kind of go along? You know, maybe starting out from scratch when people just immediately look at you and think, hey, this guy must have the goods. Do you feel that pressure as you do try to work and get better?
Yeah, I love pressure, something that I live for. You know, I love being in those kind of situations. And it's actually the exact opposite when, you know, a lot of people meet me after we get done, you know, working in the ring. They're like, man, I thought you were going to be stiff. I thought you weren't going to be able to work. I thought you weren't going to be, you know, as good as you are. So, you know, they come in there thinking the kind of opposite of, you know, the look, thinking I'm going to be good automatically, you know what I'm saying? They think I'm going to be stiff and won't be able to work, won't be able to move so well. And you know, when they get in the ring, they're like, oh, man, I didn't expect you to be, you know, to work how you were. Or they look at me and think I'm going to hurt them or something, or I'm dangerous or something like that. So that's what I like to pride myself on, you know, is I've never, you know, injured anybody in the ring. And, you know, I don't plan to. So it's I just, you know, work safe and, you know, make stuff look good. And I think that's You know, that's how it should always be.
I knew you have some football background.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jay, the Harold J. Taylor.
Going on.
I've been seeing you doing all right.
Yeah, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'll get by. Hey, you know, I've been watching Nation for the better part of the last 2 years.
Okay.
And you know, he's got that big man look, and you know, he does have those, you know, 4 or 5 high flying moves, but the good thing the thing that I like is that he doesn't pop them all out in every match. You know, he might pop one out, and you know, it's to the point where you see him, you don't expect to see anything like that. You know, and even when you've seen him, you know, 4 or 5 times, you still don't know what he's going to come out with, and I think that's what makes it an even bigger impact. You know. Because, I mean, you know, there would be people that would, you know, be all for seeing them fly, bounce around the ring all over the place, because you don't see big men doing that. But it would lose its impact, you know. But the way he does it, you know, you don't know when that move's going to come out, and you don't know what he's going to come out with. You know, I saw him at the WCWA show last year. Up in was it Tucker or
okay.
But and you did that dive over the top rope, you know, Undertaker, and I had no idea that was coming. It was, you know, awesome. You know, it was perfectly timed and beautifully executed. You know, and that's what I think works so great for it, you know. But the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, you're one of those guys that I have seen you wrestle in front of 5 people at WWE 4, and I've seen you wrestle in bigger crowds. And, you know, you're one of those guys that puts out, you know, the same effort, whether it's 5 people or 50 people or 100 people, you know. And, yeah, like I said, you got a great future ahead of you. You need to rehab that good and keep moving on.
Definitely. I appreciate it. That means a lot. Thank you.
Well, Nation, what is your projected or your prognosis? When do you think you'll be back in the ring?
They said about, you know, it could take anywhere up to a year, 6 months of recovery, and they think, you know, about a year till where I'll be back, you know, to where I was at before I got injured. And, you know, I just hope to not just cut it in half, but just to cut it, you know, a little shorter than that, because, you know, just sitting here and not being able to wrestle, it sucks. But at the same time,
sure.
I don't want to rush in. I don't want to rush in and re-injure my knee. Then I got to, you know, sit out for even longer. You know, I'm going to listen to the surgeon and, you know, take it day by day, you know, take it as it comes. And but he said anywhere from 6 months to a year.
Okay.
So it sounds like such a long time, you know, but hopefully as these days go by. Wait.
Yeah. Well, we need to.
What kind of stuff are you doing in the interim before you can actually start your real rehab? I mean, what kind of stuff do you do to keep yourself in the game?
Right now, see, I can't really do much right now because, you know, he doesn't want to even, for the last week I haven't even been able to, you know, put any pressure on it. So pretty much I've been bedridden, just kind of watching movies and stuff like that. But, you know, and I try to hit, you know, at least some kind of push-ups, you know, something like that, just to keep my, you know, keep my heart rate up, you know, just something instead of just sitting around eating and being lazy. But, you know, till he tells me I can really put pressure on it, just, you know, I'm kind of restricted on or limited on what I can do. And it sucks. I've been here living on the couch the last few days and just kind of not really doing too much, you know, compared to what I do on the regular. I'm so active, you know, and that's what I'm so used to doing. I'm always, you know, up and around. You know, whether it's working out or traveling on the road, to go from that to just being a couch potato is hard. It's rough, you know, and you got to stay mentally strong, and that's what I'm trying to do because the last thing I want to do is lose my cool mentally and lose my focus and everything.
When you do something like blow out your knee, I mean, you know, I have almost no athletic background, you know, so I'm just wondering. All right, man, I hear you laughing back there. when you blow out your knee, I mean, can you still work out your upper body, or is that putting, I mean, you know, I know your knee's going to be really sensitive. Is that going to put some kind of strain that they don't want you to put on there, or?
No, I don't think it would have too much effect on upper body, but my main thing is that right now I can't bend my leg, and since the tendon was, you know, detached from the kneecap, I can't even lift my leg. You know, it's like he just connected it, you know, back last week, and it takes about 6 weeks for the tendon to actually connect back to the bone, for the muscle to connect back to the bone. So it's hard for me to even lift my leg up in the air or bend it. You know, just even getting in the car, getting around is kind of hard. So, you know, even if I were able to do some upper body stuff, I don't think it would really have any effect on the, you know, on my knee, but it'd be hard just because I'm limited on, you know, certain things I can do.
Nation, we need to wrap things up in a few minutes, but I think someone was asking about your football background a minute ago, so whoever was asking that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew you had some football background. Did that bring you to the wrestling, or did you grow up a wrestling fan?
No, I grew up a wrestling fan. I had watched wrestling was something I always wanted to do. My dad was one, you know, I still remember my first match, I think, was the Undertaker versus Ultimate Warrior. And, you know, I've said this many times, I was just so amazed by, you know, how much larger than life these guys were, you know, and ever since that day, up to this day, you know, what, like 20 years later, me and my dad could still sit down and watch wrestling together and be into it the same way that we were into it when I was, you know, like 5 or 6 years old and he was, you know, much younger. But wrestling is something I always wanted to do. Athletics was always a part of my life. But I always knew, you know, that once I left high school and left college and everything, that I was going to start wrestling. Really, athletics is something that helped me pass time when I was in high school. And I always knew that I had a main goal, which is, you know, WWE, and that's, you know, that's what I'm sticking with. So,
well, since you don't, since you can't get around a whole lot, and you're watching a lot of movies and TV, did you happen to watch the pay-per-view last night, Extreme Rules?
I did. I got to see the results, but I didn't get to watch that. I'm trying to find, you know, I see a lot of people watching it. I don't know if they're ordering it, but you know, I'm trying to find somewhere I could watch it. You know, not for that full price that they're charging, but you know, I thought it was up. I thought it was up.
I've heard there's a link.
Hey, I might need a, you know, I need that to be passed along. but
what you need to do is get out there with Team All You Can Eat on one of their parties at the bar. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they do that at, like, Buffalo Wild Wings and stuff like that. Sometimes they'll show, like, certain pay-per-views and stuff.
The Buffalo Wild Wings in Lithonia by Stonecrest shows all the WWE pay-per-views, and I believe the Hooters in Roswell does, but those are the only ones.
I live close, pretty close to Stonecrest, so I'll keep that in mind, definitely.
Yeah, that's where I usually go watch them. It's the closest place to me that I found. It's still a little bit of a drive, but not too far.
Gotcha, okay.
But anyway, I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view, and
I heard some of the matches were great.
Yeah. The only disappointment, I mean, I guess the what's his name, the Funkasaurus and Dolph Ziggler. It was a decent match, but it was disappointing to see Dolph Ziggler lose. But
I like Dolph Ziggler is another guy that I really like. I think he, you know, deserves to be a little better spot than where he's at right now, but what can you do?
Yeah, but the Brock Lesnar-Cena match was insane. I don't know if anyone saw it or heard about it, but I think Cena's arm is legitimately hurt. I think he's going to be out for a little while.
Well, that's tough.
Certainly not what I expected it to be. It could be one of those moments we look back and like, hey, things really changed after this match.
Yeah.
It's another one of those sort of moments where WWE can go left or right, and they've gone left for the past 5 or 6 years and disappointed us all. If they go right, we could be on the brink of sort of a rebirth.
That'd be lovely.
As I've been saying ever since WrestleMania, it feels like they're moving in that direction, and I don't know. A lot of people speculate that Lesnar losing will take the wind out of his sails, but I don't think so. I think the way it happened, you know, he kicked Cena's ass most of the match, and then at the very end, Cena hit him in the head with a chain, so, I mean, not many people would get up from that.
Yeah, that's true.
And he still, you know, assuming Cena is going to be out for a while, he still did what he came to do, which is take Cena out. So,
yep.
And then, you know, the Jericho Punk match was interesting. I thought Jericho would probably win that one, and
that's
he didn't. So I don't know what his future is. You know, I don't know if he's going to go back on tour with his band or what's going to happen with that. But Raw is about to come on, so I guess we can wrap things up and we can find out. But I want to thank Nation for calling, and I hope you have a speedy recovery.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, anytime. And thanks to Larry Goodman and Harold J. Taylor and earlier Jagged Edge. And I guess we will be back next Monday. I don't know who our guests yet will be, but we will announce it online sometime soon. And I'm also, just before we go, I'm going to do sort of an informal poll on the Wrestling with Pop Culture Facebook page over the next couple of weeks, just because I want to, and I want to see what people think of, like, what the best or most exciting promotion is in Georgia and the Southeast. So anybody listening, look out for that, and feel free to comment with which promotions you think are the best in the area. And I don't know, just give us something to talk about on the air in the next few weeks. But if anybody else has anything,
Yeah, real quick, the original Sleeping Beauty, like the original tale,
yeah.
The guy didn't kiss her to wake her up. He actually raped her and left, and then she had babies.
Well, that happens a lot in the original versions of fairy tales.
Oh, my God. Can we please start a fun fact with Danny Only segment to end every show now?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can start and end the show with something like that.
Shout out to Danny Only. That's my dude, man. That's a Roll Royal right there. You know, that's my dude right there. Looking forward to getting back on the
show. Yeah, man, I wish. I gotta get up on your level, man. I need to go to some more of them shows so me and you can drop while Sugar Duncan sleeps in the back seat.
We're gonna put him in the front seat, man. We're gonna be the one sleeping.
All right, guys. Well, tune in again next week, and in the meantime, go to wrestlingwithpopculture.com and georgiawrestlinghistory.com for all your wrestling news. See you next week.
Titty sprinkles.
For listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.